We will distribute now to you all the texts, actually, of Mana Shiksha, because today's class, we will see the great picture of Mana Shiksha. We will have an overview of the whole work of Raghunath Das Goswami, which, as we have heard yesterday, is something like a guidebook, a padahati for the progress of Krishna consciousness. Now, while we do this, I would request the devotees on the book table to quickly come to a conclusion of their... Please buy in sufficient quantity, but after this, please sit down so that we can start the program. I must tell you, I'm feeling very, very privileged, if not totally excited and in some ways nervous, to give this class, because I really feel that we do need to look at guidebooks to know exactly what we are supposed to do. Now, before I start the class, in all seriousness, I would like to give a summary of what we learned yesterday, because I felt the point, Gaurahari, was so important that I want to be very, very sure that I didn't do a mistake in presenting it very clearly. I wanted to say that this is a guidebook to develop love of Godhead, a very exalted state of consciousness. And sometimes devotees asked whether or not this is possible to develop love of Godhead, or to think about these things on a state, on a level of either beginning Krishna consciousness or being for 40 years in Krishna consciousness. They do ask, oh, love of Godhead, this seems to be a high concept, maybe this is too high, and so on and so forth. And therefore, to deal in the beginning with this subject, I wanted to explain in the yesterday that when we deal with the concept of love of Godhead, prema, we really deal with desire. Desire, when it goes towards the many objects for personal sense gratification, becomes a binding force to this world called karma. It develops in contact with the mode of passion. But when the desire is turned towards Krishna, Radha and Krishna, the desire can be purified and turns into love or prema. Lust and love appear very similar, actually, just like gold and iron are metal. They share the same metallic family, so to say. They are in the family of metals, not minerals or something else. But one is pure or selfless, and the other is selfish. So, in order to help us understand, I wanted to bring you to the understanding of the Sanskrit understanding that prema has the verbal root. Verbal root means a driving force, that which moves this on, called a prim. And it means desire. And karma, with a long A in the beginning, has the verbal root kam. And kam means also desire. So, I am the human being. This is what we wanted to show. And I can assure you, some of you will dream of this. One person has already dreamt of this. So, that's why we do this. I'm standing here, most probably looking down towards the material objects called kam, the objects of sense gratification. And if I associate my consciousness with these objects, then something happens which Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Sangat sanjayate kamat. I have sangha or association in my consciousness with sense objects and I develop kama. That means lust. And my consciousness goes down and degrades itself more and more, becomes more and more captured, unfree, obsessed. Now, if by the same logic, and this is how Manashiksha works, now I associate my consciousness with with those elements or agents which purify and not degrade my consciousness, I go up. I move up. And I feel this. First, it's Vaidhi Bhakti. I'm a little bit, have to practice to put this in the mind. But then, something wonderful happens. The Shakti, it is called the Bhakti Shakti. Bhakti is a expansion of Srimati Radharani, touches my heart. And I feel in my heart, my God, I feel like I've never felt before. This is good. And then this Paramdrishtva psychology sets in or kicks in American slang. And something else happens. More and more portions or doses of Srimati Radharani's force, it's called the Kladini Shakti, pleasure Shakti, come and virtually pull me up, and I will go and will be pulled more and more up. This is the idea. So what you see here is the ladder of desire. Ladder. This thing is called a ladder. And the ladder of desire, you have to make a decision really in the beginning of Manashiksha. In which direction would you like to climb and then associate your consciousness with those agents or meditations which will pull you up and not degrade you? I find, my dear devotees, that this is a very, very practical methodology and what is so nice about it, it absolutely works. Because it introduces us to a Shakti, which is, in American slang, awesome. Awe-inspiring. It really does something. It pulls us. And this is the wonderful magic of this book. It's a pulling book. It's a book of attraction, of developing attractions. So this is the idea of the ladder example, and I again wanted to bring it to your attention because this whole class will only work for you if you understand this first point. Bhaktivinoda Raghunatha Goswami really encourages us in the first verse by using the word Kuru Atitaram. That is, Kuru means to do. Kuru, yes, do. And Atitaram means great. Make a great effort. In other words, practice this with a great effort. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he encourages us. He says, take this up with special eagerness. Do not remain careless, thinking, if fate allows this love, it will be mine. If it comes, it comes. Huh? No, this is not how you can approach prema or Krishna consciousness. If it comes, if I, Bhurijan Prabhu wrote many years ago a wallpaper to the GBC. It was an ironic statement. It said, our automatic process, and he wanted to impress upon his audience of GBC members, that Krishna consciousness works only with an investment, not like a train. You just sit in somewhere, you join, and whoop, you become highly exalted. Most probably, if you have this attitude that I don't make an at Guru Atitaram and a special effort, you will fly out of the train after some time by the force of Maya. Huh? So, it's not an, the process works automatically if you apply yourself with an endeavor and with hoping for mercy on this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this very nicely, and it really drives us out of the comfort zone when we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings. He says, take this up with special eagerness. Do not remain careless, thinking, if fate allows this love, then it will be mine. If it's my fate, yes. If it's not my fate, no. And then, as you apply yourself to the process, he says, to the degree in which your own strength is slowly manifesting, that means your spiritual strength will come as you are moving up, huh? To that degree, the fate born of your own karma will wane. Wane means it will slowly go away, and you will receive the mercy of the saintly persons and of Sri Krishna. It will be so without a doubt. So, as you go up on this ladder, and as you are moving into these concepts which you will hear now, your spiritual strengths will grow, and you will see how your karma, the karma, here karma means reactions, will fade away, and you will become freer and freer and ever freer. Are you into it? Would you like to now, yes, learn it. Now, I'm talking to an ISKCON audience which has heard too many lectures and is not awake when they hear concepts, so I will make you a little bit awake by doing something which you have not seen before. The lecturer clapping, it's so easy to get someone's attention. Okay, enough of this. Once Prabhupada was asked, how do I become Krishna conscious? He had finished his morning walk, and he sat in the car to go to the darshan of our Nudvaraka Mandir. And one devotee who wanted to ask this question hadn't had his opportunity. So when Prabhupada was already in the car was starting, then this devotee came up to the window and asked, how does it work? I've told this in the last retreat, and therefore I will not talk it so extensively. And Prabhupada said, by your desire, this is how you will become Krishna conscious. At other times, Prabhupada was asked the same question, and he would quote a verse, the verse from which he has taken Krishna consciousness, the meaning of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Bhavanamrita. He said, by your eagerness, you have to be eager. That's how you become Krishna conscious. And still at another time, Prabhupada said to the answer to the question, how will it actually work when I become Krishna conscious? He said, by your anxiety. Now when you look at all the three words, desire, eagerness, and anxiety, it's actually the same thing. It's like water. Water which boils is water, and water which evaporates is so hot that it is cooking is also water. So when to use the terminology of Krishna, of our Bhurijan Prabhu, when you become a little bit ablaze, then you have a desire, when a spark is there. When you become a little bit more desirous, you know, we're talking of prema, of going up the ladder, then you will have what is called loba, or an eagerness. And when this comes to a very exalted state, then you will have an anxiety. And we will hear a little bit about this later when we deal with the anxiety of Mother Yashoda. But for now, I want to request you to now turn to your sheet of papers and to the second verse. Today, I would like to give you a quick run through the whole technology of mana shiksha. I think we will come half of it through. Can someone, without looking at the piece of paper, tell me what was the first verse about? Brijbasis and Brahmanas. Yes. I'm collecting. I will not comment. My biting comments come at the end. Omala. Not a lecture. Quick, what was it about? Give up prestige and serve Guru. Pray to the mind. Give up pride and take shelter of Guru, Harinam, Diksha Mantras, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, Brijbasis, Brajbhumi, and Radha and Krishna. Here comes a computer memory. Yes. So I have noticed our Matajis are very alert. What is with the thinkers amongst the manpower? Piyush. Pray to your mind by chanting, but gently, okay? Develop sublime and unprecedented ruchi. Bhurijan Prabhu, as a knower of the English language, gave me a very interesting thing. The word is, please remember the Sanskrit, please tell us. Apurvam. And what does this mean, please? Never before experienced. This mana shiksha wants to bring us to a space which we have never before experienced. God. I'm very satisfied with my students. No biting comments today. Very good. So, now there is maybe a question. The first verse instructs us to give up pride and take full shelter in Shri Radha and Krishna's lotus feet with single-minded devotion. But how can we practically practice this by living within this world? How will the jiva live? If dharma and adharma, which regulate our religious and occupational life, are neglected, the maintenance of his life is not met. A little while ago, there was a discussion in the palace, Prabhupada Palace, called Bhaktivedanta Ashram. The devotees were reading the verse 66 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Savaraman, give up all dharma. And they marveled about the wonderful purport of Srila Prabhupada, until one devotee, I will not tell his name, said, I can't understand you. You are here sitting, glorifying Srila Prabhupada, saying you should give up all other dharmas. But when you preach nowadays in ISKCON, what do you preach to the devotees? Don't you preach about that they have to do something to maintain their life? They have to do dharma? Why do you glorify Prabhupada vainly? You are not following him. You are advising them something else. And all the Prabhupada disciples were shaking, and it was, I heard, a good discussion afterwards. Is this practical? Does this work? And the next, this is a question. Dharma and adharma, or to act according to dharma, means this is how we maintain ourselves as jiva in this world. Now we hear we should give this up. And then the next question. If one should take up worship of the divine couple, how should one see Sri Krishna Chaitanya? What is his position? You know, if you go, we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And the next is, in what devotional mood exactly should one see one's spiritual master? The second verse will answer these questions. Please turn to verse number 2. I will read the first line in this ancient Sanskrit meter, and then you can please repeat after me. Nadharmam nadharmam shrutigana niruktam kila kuru. Nadharmam nadharmam shrutigana niruktam kila kuru. Braje Radha Krishna Prachura Parichayam Ihatanu. Braje Radha Krishna Prachura Parichayam Ihatanu. Sachi Sunum Nandishvarapati Sutat Viguruvaram. Sachi Sunum Nandishvarapati Sutat Viguruvaram. Mukunda preshtat vesmadapadam ajashram nanumana. Mukunda preshtat vesmadapadam ajashram nanumana. O my dear mind, please do not perform either dharma or adharma, as mentioned in the Shrutis or Vedas. This is not for you. Rather, you should render profuse loving service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Braj. Always meditate on Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, understanding him to be absolutely non-different from Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. O mind, meditate as well on Sri Guru, seeing him as most dear to Lord Mukunda. So the first, remember, this Padahati is a guidebook for those who have developed faith in Krishna as their everything, including their maintainer. And it answers the question, okay, if I have developed now my faith in Krishna, what is my duty now? Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Shiva's Pandit and asked, Pandit, you are only reciting the Gita, holding Kirtan festivals at your house, and this doesn't bring money. What do you do for the maintenance of your numerous family with numerous members? Shiva's Pandit did like this. Don't clap in your hands, said Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If I have asked you a question, I want an answer. Shivas Pandit said, the first clap means, my Lord, if we serve you, if we have trust in you, if we have faith in you, you have said that you will maintain us. And if for one day you don't maintain us, no problem. If for the second day you maintain us, don't maintain us, also no problem. If for the third day we still keep on fasting, we can fast 3 days, no problem. And if in the fourth day nothing comes, we will all go to the Ganga and drown ourselves because you have failed on your promise. And that's not good for you. Faith. The Dharma of the conditioned soul is to run around in the world and make many arrangements according to pious rules given in the Vedas. The ignorant cannot work without such rules and regulations. Otherwise, their activities turn to be inauspicious and immoral. But those who possess knowledge of the soul and their sambandha, their relationship with Krishna, do not require such scriptural rules and regulations. They are called wise. They are introduced to embrace the path of surrendering to Lord Krishna. Now, don't worry, modern ISKCON audience. I know this is how we used to preach in the old times, and it didn't work because we hadn't really analyzed this properly. When you are a grihastha and you bring children into your world, in the world, it is encumbrant upon yourself to do something for the maintenance of your family and also trying to support the brahmacharis and the renunciants. This is the old tradition. But it should be done while one makes oneself dependent on Krishna. Absolutely dependent. And then it works. I would like to give you an example. There is one friend of mine, Sital Goranga. He married became a grihastha and took to the profession of the astrologer. But it didn't work. No money came. So he went one day to Balaji and he said, Balaji, whenever someone comes to me for astrological consultation, I promise to give you 1/10 of the income. I heard with Balaji you can make such business arrangements, and those of us who are of the calculating business mind, Balaji is your partner. If you want to have such an arrangement, I recommend to go more for pure bhakti. But anyways, he did this. He made himself dependent on Balaji, and customers came, but he forgot to give the tenth. And his business ran down. And one day his good wife said to him, the reason why you're so poor is you don't make yourself dependent on Balaji. You keep everything for yourself. You don't donate. Donate. So he gave the tenth, and now he is one of the richest grihasthas in ISKCON. Hare Krishna. He has a gold ring on each of his finger. I have seen. And is invited in many temples. With this somewhat clumsy example, I want to say, yes, we may, our life situation may change, but not the idea of making ourselves dependent on Krishna. This is for devotees. Then the verse tells us we should meditate on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is so important. Because, my dear devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opens for us the road of mercy. And it is due to Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world that we have access to these high exalted subject matters. He says, there is a verse from Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur, which goes like this, Premana madbhutata shravanapada gata kasya namnam koveta kasya vrindavani vipina maha maduri shupra. Had anyone ever heard of something known as prema, as the ultimate aim of mankind? If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come and been compassionate? Did anyone know of the divine power of the holy name if Gauranga Mahaprabhu wouldn't have come? Had anyone ever entered the sweet, charming forest of Vrindavan without Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Did anyone know of Sri Radha as the embodiment of the highest transcendental ecstasy without the kind instruction of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? And he asked about 10 such questions, and we would fall asleep most probably after, because we can't keep so many in our mind. But the idea of these questions are, here is the exalted thing which has been brought by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has given you a key to it, to your head. You just chant the holy name, avoiding the 10 offenses, and then you enter the road of prema. You are up, and your ladder just goes upwards. Chant without offenses. That's the simple formula of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, and then it says, you should see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different than Radha and Krishna. You know, when you meditate about Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us the following very, very, very nice meditation. It's very nice. We should think of Gauranga Mahaprabhu as Krishna, but as Krishna in a special mood. He has descended in the mood of Srimati Radharani to teach us how to develop devotion. We hear this, that once Krishna sat with Radharani in the forest of Vrindavan, and he took the hand of Radha into his hand and said, "Would you please give me something today?" Radharani was in a very special mood. Her heart was, as such a confidential subject, I have to really see how to explain it. Her heart had melted. Please don't force me to explain why. Her heart had melted. It was. Oh, so much love melted. Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna says, "Could you give me this love, please?" Radha said, "It would be too heavy for you to bear." Then Lalita chimed in. She contributed, she said, "Yes, this would be too heavy. When our Swamini has this type of love in her heart, where all her everything goes to you, O Krishna, she cannot be pacified when you are not there. We put sandalwood paste on her body, but it falls off like leaves of paper which are dried. We put her on a bed of damp lotus petals, but the lotus petals burn up. This would be too heavy for you." Then Krishna took the second hand of Radharani. Now he had both hands. "I want to experience this love." And Radha said, "Okay, Syam, I will give you this love. But in addition to this, I will cover your beautiful blackish body with my complexion, the golden complexion, so that when you stumble and fall and bruise your body, you're protected by my aura, by my effulgence, by my kanti, and in this way will not harm your soft body, which is so soft and so dear to me. So, Krishna came as covered with this golden kanti, this golden complexion, this protective protection, if you so want. And as he danced, calling like Radha, O Krishna, where are you? Where are you, O moon who has arisen from the dynasty of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? Where are you? When Radharani would, when Krishna had this love, which would make him cry so much that the stones melted, and when he would crash down like a tree which was felled by a gale, gale means a heavy storm, then that beautiful golden shining effulgence of Radha would cover him. And it is this meditation, how we meditate about Gauranga Mahaprabhu, if we follow the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then it says, how to meditate about one's guru. And I find this is very practical. You should think of the guru as, with this attribute, Mukunda Preshta. He is dear to Mukunda, the Lord who gives liberation. See him as a dear friend of Krishna, who is doing the work of Krishna. There's a verse which I found when I studied the Bhagavatam with Burijam Prabhu's unveiling his lotus feet book. It's a verse how the Prachetas, where the Prachetas address Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, as you might remember, had been their guru. He taught them a special mantra called the Shiva Gita, the song of Lord Shiva. It's a beautiful song. I can only recommend it to you. You will find it in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. It's the song of Lord Shiva. It's intense. It's really philosophical. And it paints beautiful pictures of Krishna as glistening like a rain cloud, which is lit up by a flash. Huh? And in this, yes, and the Pracheta sang this song and meditated about this and arrived at the Mantra City. That is, they saw the deity of this song, the one who was worshipped by the song, Krishna. And then they said to him, Vayang tu sakshat bhagavan bhavasya priyasya. Priyasya, do you recognize this word? Priya mukunda preshta. Priyasya sakyo. Sakyo means friend. Kshana sangamena. They say, Lord Krishna, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who's very dear to you and who's your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. So, see your guru as a friend of Krishna. Mukunda Preshta, very dear to Mukunda. See his essence. When you dislike him, like most Western people do, when the guru gets heavy, we dislike the guru automatically. You know, see the essence. He wants to give you Krishna. He wants to bring you to Krishna. Because that's what Krishna wants. He wants you. And of course, the guru will help in Krishna's message, mission. That's the meditation. So, now, it says, exclusively concentrate on loving service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Braj. And I want to now initiate you. Don't run away. It's not dangerous. I want to initiate you into a very interesting sadhana. If you want to worship Radha and Krishna in Braj, there are six ingredients which you should learn. These six ingredients are very important on the path of bhajan. That means confidential worship. And it's important that you know about these processes. First of all, you must learn to offer obeisances. When you are in Braj, offer sufficient obeisances. Bow down and touch the dust. This is a sadhana on the path of bhajan. The Goswamis, you know, when we would see the Raghunathas Goswamis, do you remember how many obeisances he paid a day? 2,000? Who's 2,000? 2,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas. My dear devotees, this is important. If you want to follow this example, have you seen devotees doing Dandavat Parikrama at times? And have you thought, I never do this? Most properly. Do it sometimes. You want to attain something which you have not experienced so far. When I was introduced to Dandavat Parikrama, I made one experience which I must relate to you. First of all, you must know I always look for my own fame, and whatever I do, I like to become famous with it. That's my nature. So I said, I don't make Dandavat Parikrama under these premises. I will do it at the midnight when no one sees me. So I did it in Radhakund. I equipped myself. I must have looked like a knight. You know, and there was no one on the street, so I went, jip, jip, jip. At first I thought how advanced I am, how cute, and so on. But then, very quickly, I noticed, it was strenuous, and, ooh. I said, maybe there is another mode of consciousness here, which is more appropriate. And immediately, just by putting my body on the pilgrim's path in prostrated obeisances, I remember a feeling of humility came. And then came my challenge. I came to a pig herd which was just blocking my path. So, first of all, my false ego sprung up and I said to the superior pig, the leading pig, I'm the son of a director. Get out of my way, please. The pig didn't look at me. So I said, okay, I have learned to be a street fighter. When I was very young, he can have it the other way. So I paid an obeisance and went with my hand bang on the pig like this. Because I really wanted him to go out of my way for my glorious bow down exercise. The pig just gave me a snarl, which made me go big. And I thought, okay, better he might bite me, and then I'm a case for the hospital. So better not do that. So I really went on the floor. I really went, and I said, okay, again I'm in false ego. This time I will just very much pray to Radharani and Krishna. And I paid my obeisances. And I came again to that leading pig who studied me very carefully. And I said, please let me do this service. I know you are a great soul. You have been sent by Radharani to test me. And I have failed my first test. And I really prayed, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, because I was going around Radhakund, the lake of Radha. And the pig went to the side. He told the other pigs to go to the side, and I went through the pig, and I never ever felt so cleansed in my life as I felt amongst the Sangha of pigs. Because they had told me in their own graphic ways, I have to be humble, I have to do it for Radharani, otherwise they will bite me. And so on. And I remember this was something which really helped me. From that experience, I did several other experiences like this, and I want to now tell you, you may not offer so many obeisances as in a Dandavat Parikrama, but offer sufficient amounts of obeisances. Use this time when you come here, when you go from here, when you end your Gayatri Mantra, when you start your Gayatri Mantra, pay obeisances. This is the marga, the path. The next is offer prayers. The Goswamis wrote prayer books, ashtakams, one after the other, because they would sing these wonderful prayers, which incite devotion in the heart. These prayers are full with devotion, and when you chant them, the devotion will come in your heart. Third item, offer the fruits of your activities. It means do something for Krishna. Many devotees here in Braj have picked up a broom and done jaru seva, it's called, the broom seva. That is a wonderful seva, Devala Rishi. To just broom, make clean Braj, like you clean the most beloved place before you sit down, you clean. Here in Braj, clean. Do something practical. Fourth is similar. This fruits of all activities means maybe donations. Don't be shy to give donations to the deities, to good sadhus. I mean, this is, if you have. Fourth is offer services. Fifth is learn to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. It's called smaranam. And sixth is hear the topics of the Lord sufficiently. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur writes that this is what you should do when you want to do bhajan or worship. You should learn to do these six items. If you want to find a shastric praman for this, means more explanation in the shastras, I refer you to Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text 50, where Prahlad Maharaj describes to us these six items of bhajan. Now, I wish you to turn to your neighbor. And I wish you to, maybe an unknown neighbor, or a known neighbor, and to talk with your neighbor in 5 minutes about experiences in bhakti. Experiences which you have made, maybe by offering obeisances, maybe by offering prayers, maybe when you gave up the fruits of all activities, maybe when you did services, maybe when you did Smaranam, remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Or maybe when you heard Krishna Katha. We want raw experiences to be shared. And you have 5 German minutes for this exercise, because there are many more things which will come. Especially a very amazing point. Start now. Experiences in bhakti. If you have never experienced anything, say it, and then maybe your neighbor can enlighten you. No, 5 minutes for two. Yes, 5 minutes you both have to talk. All together, 5 minutes. Hari Hari Bo. I suggest that you take this question, experiences in bhakti, into the rest of the retreat, and you talk with the devotees, and you might collect many, many wonderful jewels which devotees have experienced. Now, at this stage, where we have been introduced to dependence on Krishna, meditation on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Guru, we might have a question. A question which, at least in traditional Indian spirituality, is very important. And I want to bring this question into a modern context. I think this question is also very important. Do you know what is an eclectic spiritualist? Eclectic means you take from here and from there and from there. You read these books, you go to these lectures, you go to these, you listen to Dalai Lama, and you just construct your own spirituality from the bits and pieces which you collect together. So one might ask whether or not it is possible to attain residence in Braj Dham and execute devotional service with this intense attachment and love by accepting Diksha and Shiksha from other sampradayas, from other spiritual schools. This question will be now addressed in verse 3. Please sing with me. Yadi cha avasam vraja bhuvi saragam pradita nur. Yadi cha avasam vraja bhuvi saragam pradita nur. Juva dvantvam tachet paricharitam adat abilase. Juvam dvantvam tachet paricharitam adat abilase. Svarupam shirupam saganam ihatasyakrajamapi. Svarupam shirupam saganam ihatasyakramapi. Sputam premna nityam smaranamatada tvam shinumana. Sputam premna nityam smaranamatada tvam shinumana. We are informed by Raghunath Goswami, if you are eager to reside in Brajadham and execute devotional service with love, as well as to yearn for the direct service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then simply desire to remember and worship birth after birth the lotus feet of Sri Swarup Damodar, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, and all the other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are recipients of their mercy. In my simple language, I call this verse the flower pot verse. My dear devotees, there is so much spiritual knowledge nowadays out, but you have to decide what will nourish you. A certain culture is required. A culture of nourishment if you wish to develop something. Look at this flower. What would be the future of this flower without the appropriate earth, where there are minerals which just suit the needs of the flower, where there is water? If you would put this beautiful flower, which is from Vrindavan, into a German ground, which has so many interesting philosophies, Kant, Hegel, Schopenhauer, Nietzsche, and such good literature, Hermann Hesse, and so on. What?
Goethe.
Goethe. Ooh. He was not a fool, he said. Oh, two souls are in my chest. They are fighting with each other. But see, if you want to develop something very special, you must give what you want to develop the nourishment around it. It's very important. You must learn this more. In the Hare Krishna movement, we must learn this sufficiently to put a culture around our lives, a living culture, which will nourish what we want to attain in our lives. The informations, the habits, the way of dealing with each other, eating styles, everything should be conducive for what we want to reach. Otherwise, taking a little bit Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, this medicine for Kali Yuga will not work so much. I have a doctor called Dr. Naram. Dr. Naram told me that the greatest challenge in his profession as an Ayurvedic Kaviraj didn't come from the victims of the 9/11. You know, these people who are the fire workers, for the firefighters who had breathed in this asbestos or this poisonous vapor. He treated them for free and made them healthy and got a lot of benefit from this. He became very famous. He could cure almost everyone until he stumbled over this boy from the slums of Mumbai. He had a simple bronchitis. Do we say bronchitis in English? Bronchitis. And he gave him the medicine for the bronchitis. But the little boy was wasting away more and more and more. And Dr. Naram, who treated him for free, said, "Can I cure everyone except for this little boy who will die from his increasing effects of the bronchitis?" One day he went to the home of the boy, who was lying by now in bed. He took these wonderful medicines, trying to find out why was the boy becoming sicker and sicker, although he got the medicine. Finally he found out the cause. This boy worked 3 hours a day in a chemical factory. In this chemical factory, they had something like a swimming pool of chemicals. They mixed them together. And to mix them, they had this little boy swimming in it. and by his frog-like swimming movements, he stirred up the chemicals to produce the proper mix. Indian technology. And then Dr. Naram understood, I can give him medicine, but if the culture around him is not supportive to his growth, he will waste away and he won't make it. So, yes, you can chant Hare Krishna Hare Ram, as they say in India. You can do different things. But if you don't have the proper culture, the proper examples, the proper role models in your life, Braj Bhakti won't come to you. So therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami very clearly says, if you are eager to reside in Braj Dham and execute service on the platform I have in your verses, it says, of Ragatmika Bhakti. That's a, you know, it means really bhakti with love, you know, with deep love, like the inhabitants of Braj. If you yearn for the direct service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, then you must have the right examples. You must learn from the right people. Simply desire to remember and worship birth after birth the lotus feet of Sri Swarup Damodar, Sri Rup Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, and all the other associates of Sri Chaitanya, who are the recipients of his mercy. My dear devotees, this now is an overview. I'm tempted to tell you a story how these Goswamis lived, but what we will do at this stage of Mana Shiksha, we will go from verse to verse so that we get a feel of the work. Then we will return back to point A and go very much in the depths. Maybe I will continue with this next Govardhan retreat. Because it's, I think it's a life to study this verse, What I want to say is, in my own Krishna conscious life, I want to confess to you that I am a person who is extremely interested in everything, almost everything, even a piece of dust. If there is a mystery behind it, I will try to solve it, and so on. I sometimes suffer because of being so overly inquisitive, so overly interested in everything, and not being able to stop. But I have seen, and as I become old, and soon I also get a senior pass, maybe like Burijan Prabhu. You have to think about the one word very seriously. I've written it down. It's a new English word. Alliance. You have to ally yourself. You have to have an alliance to a certain spiritual school. Then, and you have to stay with that school and become deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in this Gaudiya school. You know, if you drill for water, I always give this example, and after half an hour you think, well, water has not come, let me drill somewhere else. And then again you go 3 meters deep, grrr, no water, oh, I'm frustrated. Let me now go to the camp of Rasika Bhakti times 1,000,000. At Radhakund, this organization, and drill there. 3 meters, 4 meters. Oh, no water. Okay, let me drill somewhere else. Let me drill now at Rasa Bhakti times 10. Drill at this institution. And no water. Then you have to... You will drill for the rest of your life. If you would have stayed at one bona fide place and drilled there, you would be now, by now you would be 3 meters plus 3 meters makes 6 meters plus 4 meters makes 10 meters. And then we had another example, Rasa Bhakti times 10, this institution. Okay, 10 plus 3, 13 meters. That's not auspicious. Okay, 13 is not such an auspicious. You would go somewhere else. If you would have stayed, you would have gotten very deep by now and gotten very much water. So I simply want to make this point. Stay with the line of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and drill deep and then provide jewels so that you have a proper environment, proper minerals, and get a nice flower of bhakti, you know, some good experience in bhakti, some experience in bhajan. Do this. And I think Mana Shiksha invites us to attain that what has never been attained before on this path. Krishna, my dear devotees, can you please encourage me? You know, I have so much nectar on each of the verses, but now I have decided to take you on an eagle's flight over the book so that you can look what is there. Is this all right with you? Please say yes.
Yes.
But as I'm explaining, I find my tongue wants to go deeper, and I want Lee to explain a little. But can we please do one more verse? We need to do it for today.
Okay.
Okay.
And then go deep.
Yes. This will be a psychological verse. Asadvata Veshya Vrishichamati Savasya Harini Asadvata Veshya Vrishichamati Savasva Harini Kata Mukti Vyagya. Vyagya means tiger. Na Shrinokila Savat Magilani Kata Mukti Vyagra Na Shrinokila Savat Magilani Api Tyaktva Lakshmi Patiratim Ito Vyoma Nayanim Api Tyaktva Lakshmi Patiratim Ito Vyoma Nayanim Vraje Radha Krishno Svaratimani Dotvam Bhajamana Raja Radha Krishna. Oh, my dear brother mind, please fully abandon means give up, the prostitute of contemptible discussions which will plunder the entire treasure of your pure wisdom. You must unequivocally give up hearing all talk of liberation, which is like a tigress and will devour your very soul. Furthermore, please abandon even the attachment to Srinarayan, which leads to Vaikuntha. Oh, my dear brother mind, just live in Braj and worship Sri Radha Krishna, who bestow upon the devotees the precious jewel of their Rati. My dear devotees, the mind is a storehouse of so many pollutions, and these pollutions or contaminations get stirred up by prajalpa, by contemptible discussion, or asadvata vesha, unreal nonsense topics which are like prostitutes. I think no one of you here has ever visited a prostitute, so you don't have this experience, which is not a good experience. I also have no experience. But I have heard prostitutes talk very sweetly and look very sweetly. I once preached to a prostitute who became a devotee, a professional prostitute. Yes, and she told me, she looked so sweetly. You could not imagine a more sweeter looking
prostitute.
Yes. Anyways, I don't know, and I'm trying to explain as if I know something about this. So I might get myself into difficulty. Let me, oh preacher, don't lean out too much of the window. This might cause a fall down for you. So, okay. They pretend to give a person loving excitement, but they really are after his wealth. That's their motive. They want money. They don't want the person. They don't want the relationship. So, all of us devotees have a wealth. This is our inclination and determination to engage in devotional service. Why do you then invite a prostitute in your life by talking prajalpa? This prajalpa, this nonsense talk which you do, will steal exactly this wealth, your determination and your inclination to serve Krishna. Have you ever talked prajalpa? And don't say yes. I mean, every one of us knows maybe. I have talked a lot of prajalpa. And do you know what is the versus type of prajalpa which is most effective to steal everything you have? To criticize others. This is the luxury prostitute. You know, the real well-dressed one, the real expensive one. Because they steal everything from you. Don't we know this when we criticize devotees, or when we talk so bitterly, or when we talk, and he fell down, and she also fell more down, so on and so forth. And when we engage in this talk, after some time we think, oh, everything doesn't work, and ISKCON doesn't work, and we feel less inclined to. After prajalpa, you don't want to sit down and chant Hare Krishna. You want to have a pizza and put your legs high up on a table. That's the energy. What else is asadvasha, varta? Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's discussions of which have a connection to temporary things. Shrida Swami says it's village religion, Gramya Dharma, which means Artha Kama, Moksha, and so on. But let us get more juicy here. This is too shastric for us. It's when you have close association with women for the matter of your attachment. It is TV, radio, films, magazines, and newspapers, mundane songs, they all fill your consciousness so that you forget Krishna. But the worst prajalpa is describing the faults of others. That's the worst. Because that is the most determined prostitute. She just rips all your wealth out of you. Very bad, very bad. Now, my dear devotees, I know that our older devotees look at movies. A guru told me, you must look at this movie, so and so. I won't say what movie it is. I know that you all look at magazines, newspapers, and I know that you know songs, mundane songs, I also know. I know this. My dear devotees, I want to now make a strong point. You know, when this gets too much and it pulls your consciousness down, and you know what puts your consciousness down, I'm a sannyasi and I was invited to this one movie which I needed for my... Here comes the explanation. I looked at the German, the European story of the quest. You know, quest means the search. And it's, as those educated amongst you in European history know, the Tafelrunde. What is it called in English? King Arthur's and the Knights. What?
The Round Table.
The Round Table. It describes Parzival's search for ultimate meaning, for the Graal, you know, for God, actually. So I looked at this movie, and afterwards I was criticized. I had looked with, devotees had invited me, and I'm using this in the Vedic way, but there was a scene when there is someone takes on the form of someone else to have a child with that woman, so on. You know, there's a legally married woman, and that hero wants to have a child with that woman, and then he takes on the form of her husband, and they have a child, and it's a complex literary subject matter. So when this came, the scene came, and I knew this is a movie. They will now film, not exactly according to the four rules and regulations, you know. So what I did is, I immediately put my hands like this and my ears like this, and I said, "When it's over, tell me." And then finally it was over, and these were grihasthas, you know, they were all laughing at me as I was. And then I said, "Please don't criticize me like this. I have taken this path of sannyas, and I know if I provide a culture of sensual influences to me, my plant of bhakti will not grow. This is my path. I have to do this." And it is very, very useful for bhakti if you do this sometimes also. So what I want to explain with this is this very honest statement. Reduce your outside literature, your outside movies, your outside this. It leaves permanent impressions in your consciousness if you are not careful. And you know, there are some things which explain a point in a good way. I know some movies are used by our preachers, excerpts of movies, and so on. But you yourself know exactly when it gets too much and your consciousness gets stuffed and you remember movies instead of Braja Bhakti. You know this, and you have to deal with this maturely. This is what I want to say in a postmodern ISKCON world to this, and in a class which is not listened to by brahmacharis. Those of you who have taken brahmachari vow, don't look at movies. Don't do this. But those of you who are in other directions, you have to see if there is something which helps you in your understanding. And in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya, you can use it. But be careful, you're playing with fire, and some unfavorable impressions might enter your mind, and as a result of this, you might remember the wrong things and not the right things. This whole verse is giving a list of the wrong things if you want to develop Braja Bhakti. I will leave this for you to study. It always says, all the verses, if you want to attain Braja Bhakti, then cultivate the right things. And if you forget everything in this lecture, remember this example, you need to provide the proper culture so that your plant of bhakti can grow. And mana shiksha, or the instructions of the mind, are all about this one point. To provide the proper earth, which has the right elements in it, so that your own bhakti lata beach can grow very nicely. With this, I want to conclude this lesson. My dear devotees, I'm really giving my very best. I'm so excited and I want to do it so good because I believe in this book. Could you give me maybe a feedback, a tip? I'm struggling with this point. Should I go through each verse in real depth? Or should I give an overview and then come back to the depths? Who is for... Yes. Omala is a teacher. Omala, you, please, what is your recommendation? Yeah. Should I just read the verse? But you know, some little explanation. It can go so fast. Yeah. I mean, is this good, Buridhan Prabhu? You are a teacher. What Omala says.
For 3 more days, you'll do it.
Keep going with this speed, which I have.
That would be my impression.
Do you do it to flatter my wounded ego?
No.
No. Okay.
Lifetime's work.
Yeah, it's a lifetime's work, really. Let me now get a quick show of hands of yours. So, who recommends that we...
What do you want to do?
What do I want to do?
It would be easier for us to vote.
I want that you, at the end of this class, have ecstatic love of Godhead.
Yeah.
All right. So, quick overview. Is that a good idea? Quick overview. And in depth. Yeah. Okay. I get an idea. And I have already 2 ideas. I will give this to Dhanuddha Swami and Omala. They are more intelligent. And maybe they can cook something up. Let us now end this class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.